It occurred to me that you might like to know there's a prayer that the priest says before he reads the gospel and preaches. And I say it every day. Everybody does. And it goes, cleanse my heart and my lips, Almighty God. Labia me omnipotens Deus. Who purified the heart, the lips of the prophet Isaiah with a burning coal. So deign to purify me that I may worthily proclaim your gospel. It's a very beautiful prayer. And I just thought, I say it every day, and I thought maybe people would like to know what that prayer goes like. It's in the Missal, I'm sure. The readings today are very diverse. The first one, we have something very much in keeping with the situation of the martyr whose life and death we are celebrating today. It's funny, isn't it, how everybody goes after those who are faithful to God. The Jews and now the Christians. Why do you think that is? A lot of it is demonic. Not that everybody doing this is moved by the devil, but the devil is orchestrating this. And while we don't have overt and violent persecution, you can see where things are going and how clear we have to be about preaching the gospel, like people going out today to preach the gospel, to tell people. It's that important. And so the whole book of Maccabees, as you know, is filled with these accounts of how the hammers, the Maccabees, resisted being threatened, killed, or bribed out of being faithful to God. Now, the gospel is very different. The Sadducees only held that the Torah was the word of God. And there's nothing in the Torah, they say, that has to do with resurrection of the dead. So we don't believe in that. So they posed a question to Jesus. Can you imagine that this is the Son of God and he's going to dialogue and argue with these people instead, you know? Isn't that beautiful and patient? You know, they don't know he's the Son of God, but, you know, they want to trap him, prove he's wrong. And so you just heard the story, and it's in the law. If someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. The family must go on, and the inheritance must stay in the family. Now, there were seven brothers, and they all married this woman, one after the other, and they all died. And now whose wife is she going to be when everybody rises at the last day? And Jesus says to them, the children of this age marry and remarry. But those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Now look at the kindness of Jesus. He's arguing with these Sadducees who don't hold that any part of the Torah is really inspired by God except the first five books. So in kindness to them, he argues from one of the first five books to convince them. And so you just heard the story, huh? You know, they're going to be like angels. And then Moses made known in the passage about the bush when he called Lord, that is, he called Adonai, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. So he gave them a chance. He argued from the Torah that there is mention of the resurrection of the dead. And some of the scribes were touched by that. They said in reply, "You have answered well." And they no longer dared to ask him anything. Now we have a lot of people among us today, one way or another, who are going out to preach. They need wisdom. And they need love. Love in their hearts and wisdom. So that people will hear the word of God and be moved and touched and return to God. And so we're going to pray over them, as I just said, at the end of Mass. But if you could take some time today to look at, this is Luke chapter 20, and read this text over until you are impressed with the humility and gentleness of the Son of God. Why would he argue like this? I mean, he could have pulverized them, right? I mean, there might be some pretty good theologians there, but only one is the Word of God himself, Jesus. Not any of that. And that's a very important lesson, I think. It shows you the kindness and the humility of Jesus Christ, the living Son of the living God. And it teaches us something. First, better know the scriptures if you're going to argue about them. And two, always be respectful. And that might be a word for all you people going out to preach on the streets today. You know, if you get harassed, I used to preach on the streets, and you can get harassed. I preached in Italy. You know, Italiani, they love to talk and argue, you know that. Some of you are probably Italian origin. But it was such a privilege. I remember once, it was Easter Sunday, and we'd had a wedding, one of those romantic weddings. One of the nobility of the Italians married an American girl, and they were out preaching. That's what they were doing, see? So they had their wedding up at St. Paul's, outside the walls, and then they had their reception at Trinità dei Monti, which is a convent with a large hall, right on top of the Spanish Steps. How many people know about the Spanish Steps in Rome? So you get the idea, right? So on top there, and of course the steps, this is Easter Sunday, are covered with these fellas with their rugs and their trinkets and their, you know, this is the day you make money. Well, we just started this reception. One of the boys jumped up on one of the tables and said, and read the text from Luke, "When you're throwing a party, just don't invite your friends and neighbors. Invite the poor, invite everybody." So they picked up all these. The tables were just sawhorses and planks. They picked them all up and all the food and brought them out to the little piazza in front of the church, invited everybody to come. And so, obviously, great chance to preach. So I started to preach. And the look on the faces of these guys who were losing money, if they could have killed me, they would have. They couldn't, you know, in a crowd of 1,000 people. How could you kill somebody? But very interesting how the opposition to hearing about Jesus. So that's why we're going to pray over these people. It's a great privilege to preach Jesus in public. And it's a great grace. Maybe nobody will have anything dramatic happen today, but it happens. I mean, people have to ask them, what are they doing standing out here in the cold talking about this? You know, it's not for their good. They already believe, and at least they think they do and all that. But it's love. And so we preach the gospel out of love.